backside of God. And so maybe at the time we will be able to see his face, okay? And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Okay, that's what we discussed last week. So any questions about the lesson that we had last week about this? Okay, most. No. Okay. Anything that hits you out of this first five verses that that John writes here that he's been given? Okay. All right, let's go on to verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do the commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Quite a letter written to the seven churches. And so John has written this, as we see there from the Isle of Patmos. He was in the Spirit, as we heard on the Lord's Day, and as we see here it in the Scripture. And so this prophecy, this 22 chapters of this prophecy that God has given to John to write to these seven churches that are in Asia. And so we see here, and so if you look here at your lesson, the lesson is entitled The Conclusion of the Book, but obviously it's a conclusion of the writings, but it still goes far beyond where we are today. It goes way into the future for where we are. And so we see here, as we go back, I want us to go back to verse number 1 of chapter 1. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 1. And we got to keep in mind that this whole book is the revealing or the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the revealing of Him to the seven churches through the testimony that John has been given here on the Isle of Patmos. And so when we see this, it really means the unveiling or the uncovering then. And so when we get clear back here at the back, this chapter really kind of is the conglomeration of all that is going to happen, okay? And it's so we see that. So if you notice here, paragraph 2, John has been used of the Lord to reveal to God's people the God's plan for the future. We have seen the words of Revelation 1:19, where he says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which you've heard, and the things which shall be hereafter." Okay? That is kind of the outline then as we started out the book. And so we see here, all of these things are then written to the church. And so we've been given a pretty good glimpse, so to speak, of the future. Prophecy. It is a book of prophecy. And so as we look at it here, and so we arrive then at this end of the book. And so as the Lord closes this book, he has a few final statements for us. And I want to bring out three of those statements. He says three different times, "I come quickly, I come quickly, I come quickly," as we see in verse 7, verse 12, and then we see in verse 20. And so notice as we start here then in verse number 6, okay, in this lesson, "And he saith unto me, these sayings are faithful and true." Okay, faithful and true. And so we see here, not only are they accurate as we see in our lesson, but they're trustworthy. Okay, trustworthy. And if you notice there, we're given a couple of other times here in the book of Revelation where that faithful and true are mentioned. We find them in chapter number 3 when he's writing to the church of Laodicea, or about the church of Laodicea. He is called the faithful and true witness. And so we see him there speaking about what this church was all about. And so we kind of see it there. And then we find him in chapter 19 as the individual on the white horse, the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. And he is called faithful and true there in 19:11, as your lesson brings out. And so we can trust this book. We can trust the prophecy of this book. We can trust our scriptures. We can trust the Bible. And so he makes this promise here to us that these sayings are faithful and true. "And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." Now, we look at all of this and we say, well, how could this all be short? Well, in God's time schedule, this doesn't take very long. When you're eternal, all of the book of the prophecy of Revelation doesn't take long at all. So we see, first of all, we see the church age here on earth. We see the rapture of the church. We see the 7 years of tribulation from chapter number 6 all the way to chapter number 19. That only takes 7 years. And then we spoke of what we see after that, the millennium. We see the new heaven and the new earth. We see the new Jerusalem. We see, so when he says here in this verse, "to the things which must shortly be done," notice he says there's things that are going to be done. And so he's writing to this church. And if you were in one of those churches and you were given this letter, then you would say, okay, I've read this letter, and these are the things that are going to be done. it would have been very hard for them to understand what we see and understand today. We know that prophecy has been fulfilled in our day and in our age. And if we can look back and we can see, I think one of the greatest, fulfillments of prophecy in my mind is the fact of the nation of Israel now being back in or having their own land. Now, that does not mean that they are going to stay. They might get cast out again. But I don't think so. I heard a Bible scholar say, we have no authority on God's word that says that they can remain again. But it's been ever since Nebuchadnezzar, 586 BC, until 48? Okay, they were without a nation. And they're still without a temple today, okay? But notice in your lesson here, one of the names given to Jesus in the book of Revelation is that faithful and true. We can trust it. You can believe the words of the Bible when God speaks. He speaks the truth. Every word in this book is God-breathed. Of course, that's 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, the scriptures are authoritative also. With the statements here, as we see, behold, I come quickly. Who's the I? King Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords. We see him coming back triumphantly, victoriously, and the Lord declares his authority. Man can say what he wishes about the Bible and about God's promises and prophecies, but God will have the final say, and his final say is authority. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. And so he confirms his promise to bless those who keep, as we read there in verse number one, blessed keep, guarding, protecting, and attending to carefully do the will of God and the word of God. Okay? So we find there in verse number 3 of chapter number 1. The Bible was not given to us so that we would have something to lay on the coffee table. Where's your Bible? Where do you keep your Bible? Where are we? Where does the scripture say we're supposed to put it? Yeah. Hide it in our hearts, okay? Okay, obviously we can't hide it in our hearts if we don't read it. All right, so we do that, and so we read it. Faithfulness to read the Word of God. And he gives us this little note here. When John hears this, the promises of God given to him through the angel, he gets caught up in the moment and he falls down to worship the angel. Now, this is kind of jumping ahead here quite a bit. But I want us to look here. Jesus breaks in verse number 7, okay? And he says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And so when this angel is talking here, when he says these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God, the holy prophets, he sent his angel. Now, which angel is this? When I'm talking about this angel that's talking to John, what angel is it? Nope. Remember what angel it is? No. He's the angel that had one of the seven last bowl judgments, remember? Okay, take your Bible and go over to verse number 9, I think, of chapter 21. does not give his name. Okay. It says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride and the Lamb's wife. And he's doing the instruction here to John, clear to the end of the book here, except where Jesus breaks in and we see his words here in red. Okay? And so we see the scriptures being authoritative, but we see also accessible, okay? But I want to go back to verse number 8, because I think we go through these a little slower, verse by verse. And it says, and I, John, saw these things. So what John is giving here is an eyewitness account, and he's given to it, I saw these things, okay? I saw exactly where the angel spoke to me. I saw from chapter number 1. What did John see in chapter number 1? You recall? Okay, take your Bible. We're gonna go back. John, keep in mind that this is a letter written to them, and John ends up here and he says, and I saw these things. So when we come to chapter number one, remember, it is the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? John says in verse number 12 of chapter number one, and I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, or spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Okay, what are the seven golden candlesticks? The churches, okay? And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Who's that? That's Christ. One like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps or the waist with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white with like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, and he said, fear not. John is giving us eyewitness account. And so when we come back here to the end in verse number 8, and John says, and I saw these things. And he says, and not only that, but after that, he was told to write that which you have seen, that the things that are. And the things that are what? What are the things that he has seen? He saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ in all of his image. And then he's supposed to write the things that are. What are the things that are? Okay, what are the things that are present?
When he was writing that?
Yes.
Jesus had been resurrected. We're waiting for the rapture, next great event.
Okay, but the things that are is the church age, the church, okay? The things that are chapters 2 and 3. These are the churches that are actually churches in Asia that he is sending this letter to. And those are the things that are. John is very much aware of these. And so they're the things that are in the existence right then. And then the things which are to take place hereafter are future events, okay? From 6 to 19, we have this, we have the future things, or the...
He says he's coming quickly. I think that's when he's coming quickly to get, take us up. He's coming quickly.
Um, Very well could be. Okay? Very well could be. Because it's written to the seven churches. What happens at the rapture? The body of Christ, the church, exits after chapter number six. After chapter number three. Okay? And so we see this. And so the scriptures then, as we see here in verse number 8, John says, "And I saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things." Now, keep in mind, John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he was in the Spirit, or shown these things in the Spirit, and he was writing this all down, okay? And so he said, I was so overwhelmed. I wanted to fall down at his feet. It's amazing. It's so amazing. I fell at his feet to worship him. And wrong. Not to do that, right? John's been told this before. Don't fall down at the angel's feet. Why? We don't worship angels. There's only one worthy of worship, and that's the Lord, okay? And then saith he to me, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." Worship God. You know, that's the key statement here. Worship God. And so worshiping a person or an angel, we find that becoming more prevalent today than in past years. Worshiping of angels is very much rampant today. Maybe not in our locale, but in other locales. And so that's what the world does. And so so then we come then to verse number 10. It says the scriptures are accessible. "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." John, don't seal it. Okay, who was told to seal it? A book.
Daniel.
Okay, Daniel was told in Daniel chapter number 12, seal up the things of the prophecy of this book. Why? The time wasn't ready, and the time was not ready. But we today, John is told, don't seal up the things. So we, you know, we have the access. It's accessible to us, and we have it here. The Bible we hold in our hands is a living witness to the God of heaven. It reveals him in all of his glory, his power, and his wrath. The Bible is not a closed book. It ought to be an open book to you and I. And I know it is. I know it's an open book. It's an open book. One day this book that is so hated by those who deny the Lord will be the standard of judgment. John 12:48, "If I were you, I would read this book and heed this book. After all, it's the word of God. God breathed. Holy. Accurate. Pure and righteous." And we see then that it's accessible to us. And so it's not a closed book. Okay. If we jump on up here a little bit in verse number 11. Okay. Now, I think we see here the wrapping up of this in a sense. We see, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still." I think this is a statement in verse number 11 of separation. It's going to be a separation from sin and righteousness. This verse here. Not at this point. I think this has already taken place. We find it back there in Revelation chapter 20. Where that great white throne and all of the unsaved meet there. And we find then that Satan is also gone. The beast or the Antichrist and the false prophet are also gone. Okay? And so we find here, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He will always, always live in his sin. Always. He's going to be unjust and he will live in eternity in his filthiness and his sin. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. This separation that takes place. And so we come then in our lesson here in verse number 12. Jordan asks us about rewards. And we see in verse number 12, as you look in your lesson, a word about his rewards. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work has been. Is that right? According as his work shall be. Speaking of future tense. And so, as we see here, I don't know of anyone that has really commented when we get a reward. What will that reward be? Well, at least, or it appears that our rewards when we get to heaven will be something that will be given to us that we will do. We look at verse number 12, and we look at it accurately. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man. Now, who would this be? Who are the every men? The righteous. Okay? To every man according as his work shall be. It's not has been. So I kind of take it as the reward is going to be something that God has for us to do. And it is a reward to be able to be given something beneficial to do by God. Of course, there's not going to be any Christian that's going to not do something in eternity. There will always be something. Because that's our God. When Adam and Eve were presented the garden and they were in the garden, what did God tell them to do? Tend it. Tend to the garden. That was their responsibility prior to sin, wasn't it? But because of sin, then God says, Adam, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to tend the garden. Okay, so we look here, it says, according to verse 12, the return of Jesus will be a mixed blessing. He is going to reward every man according to his works. Well, okay, now let's go back. Where do we find that in Scripture? His reward to every man as his work shall be. Okay. Take your Bible real quick and let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look at verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or known, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Okay, now here's the idea. It's how, once we're saved, how we treat and use the temple of God, our bodies. We can use it through our mouth in a testimony. We can defile this body by using immoral things. And those substances, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, are a determiner of how we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, this life. And so, any thoughts on that idea? Okay, go back to Revelation then, as we see here. Okay, he pronounces a blessing on those who obey the gospel in verse 14, but I don't want to go that far. He says, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Okay, we've seen this before. We've seen it spoken of before here. What's Alpha? Okay, first letter. And Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet, okay? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. What city? The New Jerusalem. I'm pretty sure that that's speaking of the New Jerusalem, because that's what the angel had shown John before, okay? He says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Well, obviously, being outside of the New Jerusalem, these are in eternal lake of fire. Okay? They're without. And so he pronounces here a blessing on those that are inside. They can eat of the tree of life. And we find that tree of life there in verse number 2 of this chapter. Okay. And then Jesus breaks in again and speaks to John. He said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Okay, that's where this letter is going. I am the root and the offspring of David. In other words, I am the root. When you figure the root, I am the beginning of the offspring of David. I am also the descendant of David and the bright and morning star. It's interesting that Jesus calls himself by that title, the bright and morning star. Okay. We see here in verse 13 and verse 16 in your lesson, he says, a word about his authority. In these two verses, Jesus declares his ability to make these statements and to bring them to pass. He reminds us that he was here when everything began, and that he will still be here when all things wind up, the Alpha and the Omega. Of course, we know that everything will not wind up because he is eternal. It goes right on and on and on. Okay. King of kings, Lord of lords. He is the root of David. He is David's ancestor, and he is the offspring of David, as we mentioned here. He's the bright and morning star. To be called a star in that culture was to be elevated. The morning star signaled the advent of a new day. Jesus is reminding us that he, who is greater than all, will return to destroy the darkness of this world forever. The light of his glory will fill both heaven and earth when he comes again. When he comes again. And so he makes that promise here in the Spirit and the bride. Spirit and the bride. It's interesting that those are associated together. They say, come. When we consider the Spirit, let's consider it today. Come. Come. We first find that phrase, come, was in the ark, wasn't it? Ark. What did God say to Noah? He didn't say, go, get in the ark. He said, come. Come into the ark. Well, what's that mean? Well, it means that God's already in the ark. Come. And so we see this here, this message to come. Well, the Spirit, we know too from the Scripture that unless the Spirit of God woos an individual, they will never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That individual will never come. Except, as we see there in the book of Romans, except they hear, how are they going to receive? Okay? Can a person receive without ever hearing? Can they ever receive without ever hearing God's word? Okay. Okay. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. And so, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we see this here. And so there is this appeal, as we see in your lesson there, verse number 17. There's this appeal to accept or come. Come to the invitation. Okay. We know that there is a time that the invitation is given. There's a time for the invitation to be closed. And when an individual declines the invitation and dies, the invitation will never be re-given. It's only in this lifetime will that invitation be given to be accepted and received. Okay, as we see here then, as we come on down in the Spirit and the bride. Who's the bride? Okay, the church. So that's our responsibility, to invite people to come to Jesus Christ. Come. Don't delay. And of course, these are illustrations here. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Aren't you glad tonight that you were one of those whosoever wills? And you came. And the water of life has been applied. And, you know, we can't exhaust the very depths of the water of life of the Word of God. And let him that has the water of life come freely. Okay, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Okay, now here we find men are warned not to add or to subtract from the words of this prophecy. Okay. We see here, men are warned not to add to the scripture. The Bible is a complete book. There's nothing else to it. Add to it. All right? But, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Okay? There is a very dire warning here. Don't add to it and don't subtract from it. Okay? And he gives us a little illustration here in the last page. Men are warned not to subtract from the Bible. Many people are guilty of picking and choosing what they want from the Word of God. They may not add to the Bible, but they are guilty of subtracting from its words. For too many are guilty of diluting the message of God. They deny its truth, water down its doctrines, and ignore its warnings. They too will face divine judgment.
That's so prevalent today. Mm-hmm. That is so prevalent.
Yeah. Many years ago, and he gives this illustration, many years ago, J.A., whatever his name is, in his commentary on Revelation, say, oh, my friends, it is a fearful thing to suppress or stiffly the Word of God, and above all, the words of the prophecy of his book. To put forth for truth what is not truth, denounce as error, condemn, repudiate, or emasculate what God himself has set his seal to as his mind and pure and purpose is one of those high crimes, not only against God, but against the souls of men, which cannot be unpunished, will not go unpunished. And so God does not take it lightly when people tamper with his word, and neither should we. I take this matter of handling the word of God very seriously, this writer says, okay? And as we do too, okay? As we come then to verse number 20. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Or you can bank on it. I'm coming. I'm coming. Amen. Even, and that's our prayer. Here's a prayer. The plea, there's a plea there in verse number 17, come. There's a prayer there in verse number 20 as he says, even so come, Lord Jesus. And there's that promise, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And then we have that grace of God that's with us. And I'm glad tonight that we were able to go through this book. Certainly don't understand all of it, neither does anyone. We don't know necessarily all the timing of it, but we do know the chronological background, at least, on what is going to happen and when it's going to take place, one right after another. And so we see that. And so we see the fulfillment then all the way up to eternity. Eternity. From this day forward. And so we're privileged tonight to be able to take God's word and hold it in our hands, read it, and it sustains our very life tonight. Where would we be without the holy, God-breathed word of God? And our prayer tonight is, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's our prayer. Okay. Any thoughts, comments? Cindy?
After we've gone through this last chapter, to me, it looks like just a covering of the whole book of Revelation. I mean, it's just unfolds right there in that last chapter.
That last chapter just kind of unfolds what all we've, yeah, what all we've seen and what all's going to come to pass. And the very climax of it all is Jesus says, I want you to see me. I want myself to be unveiled before you. And Revelation is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him in the unveiling. He does the unveiling and he is the one being unveiled or opened up so that we might see his majesty and his glory and his purpose and his holiness and the future that he wants with you and me. That's what we see. Praise God. Okay. All right. There we go.